Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Welcome to Ask OTC, the show where we answer all your questions from the week in European football. I'm Dotun Adebayo.
I'm Addy Brassel.
And I'm David College.
This one from TS. Is this the least interesting Champions League knockout round in terms of genuinely competitive ties in living memory? And considering how dull and predictable the competition was last season, could the new reforms actually inject some life into it? You fancy going for that first, Andy?
Yeah, well, I think that there's two ways of looking at this. Firstly, you could look at it as TS is and saying, oh, where are the competitive ties? Because there is quite a difference. And it felt this season that there was quite a big difference between finishing first and second in the group. There was quite a divide. The other way of looking at that is, do you want the biggest ties in the last 16 or do you want them in the last 8 or the last 4? I guess that's the other way of looking at it. The add-on to that is, and this week and the Champions League week has only reinforced this feeling for me, because Real Madrid, okay, they ground out the result, but, you know, they had their fortune, it's fair to say, at Leipzig. Bayern, as we were saying in the main show, really quite inoffensive at Lazio. And those are the two teams, if you look at any betting market, that are the closest to Manchester City. For me, the real winners of this week are Manchester City. You look at this and you think, like, seriously, who can touch them? I know they're playing Copenhagen. Copenhagen, who've been really good, by the way, in this season's Champions League. People will look at that and think, oh, well, Man City rolling over Copenhagen doesn't really prove anything. Okay, to an extent, it doesn't. We already know there's a budgetary gap, there's a quality gap, etc., etc. City was still sensational. To turn up and play like that rather than just do the bare minimum, that was them saying, come at us, none of you are as good at us. And I think that is the problem, going back to TS's question, the fact that, what do you judge like titanic battles by? I think a lot of the big names in this last 16 of the Champions League are so far from where they really should be. And I don't think it's something that you can always quantify in numbers. As Archie was telling us on OTC Reacts, going back to Monday, before Bayern lost at Leverkusen last weekend, they had the 6th best start of a Bundesliga season in history. Have they felt anywhere near the 6th best team in Bundesliga history? No, nowhere near. And I think if you look at where they are, PSG, who are miles away at the top of Ligue 1, where they are, there are a lot of teams in development far from their best at the moment. And that, I think, is part of the reason why you feel this lack of real competitive bite. Because to me, forget the ties for a minute, I don't think any other team can realistically win this competition instead of Manchester City unless something goes horribly wrong.
I completely concur with that. A fully fit Real Madrid are the only team closest to them, in my opinion.
And look at what happened to them in the semi-final last year.
Exactly. So yeah, I think it's almost City's to lose, really. But going back to the original question, I mean, when this draw was made for the current round, there was only one tie I was honestly looking forward to, and that's Inter versus Atleti, which I think is a cracking tie on so many levels. I think the zip and bite that I think people are perhaps missing from the Champions League, and missing from football in general, I think because we play so much football, it does lose a little bit of that intensity, a little bit of that needle. I think this game could potentially be a throwback. I really, really hope it is, and it certainly has the potential to be.
And what about the reforms that our listener TS alludes to that might inject some life into the next Champions League season?
I don't see how it's going to do
no,
that.
No, neither do I. Yeah. I mean, I'm
really concerned about how this is going to go. I mean, if you're being positive, you could say there's going to be a variety in the fixture list because it's not group stages where you've got home away, home away, home away. So maybe that mixes it up a little bit. But the fact that there's almost a reward for failure, it's a little bit like, you know, third place qualification in the Euros or the AFCON
African
or whatever.
African Cup of Nations, yeah.
Exactly. I'm trying not to mention that this week. I know you've had a tough week. But I think you look at that and that is the fear. It feels like there will be a lot of dead rubbers until proved otherwise. Because I think this season's group stage was really good. So I guess we got in especially in the back half of the group stage, what we haven't quite got so far in the first knockout round.
Lots of questions this week about one particular coach, Thomas Tuchel, from listeners. This one from Ollie: is this the beginning of the end for Thomas Tuchel? And if he does go, who's next for the hot seat? It's not a bad question. Fancy going with that, David?
I'm not quite sure who would replace him, to be honest with you, but on the actual angle of Tuchel in general and what have you, I just think he's one of those coaches who will always have a job somewhere in Europe. I think he'll always be amongst the candidates.
Even when Bayern lose to Lazio in the Champions League?
Even when Bayern lose to Lazio and they don't win the Bundesliga this year, I still think people will want to hire him.
That's big talk. I'm enjoying that.
He's got a Champions League under his belt. He's got a spell in England under his belt. Speaks English. He's still got a little bit of this aura of tactician about him that some people still, you know, read into. He'll always get jobs. I think. I don't think this is the end of him whatsoever. I don't think he'll even end up in Saudi Arabia or anywhere like that. I still think he'll get a decent level European job.
Why are we questioning his current job as Bayern Munich coach?
There are so many other eras of Bayern when they were more stable upstairs, when he would have got fired in this last not even 11 months yet. There have been so many moments where you've thought, they cannot go on like this. And they've continued to go on like this because at the moment there's a bit of a power vacuum upstairs. Now, they got rid of Salihamidzic and Kahn at the end of last season. They start again. Of course, they were responsible for getting rid of Nagelsmann and bringing in Tuchel, which, you know, up to you whether you think that's a decent move or not. I would edge more towards no, to be honest. I think that, you know, they were so lacking in a proper direction in the summer transfer market. And, of course, you had Rummenigge and Hoeneß coming back to have a bit of influence, which, you know, is not ideal, but I think underlined how much of a shambles Bayern had become upstairs. And you have Tuchel, and Chelsea fans will be like biting their lip about this, having quite an influence on last summer's transfer market, because there was no one else to do it, really, because it was before Christopher Freund was appointed. Now they're looking at bringing in Max Eberl as well, so you don't really know who's going to go where. I think that's why Bayern at the moment is, of course, an enormous club, an attractive job. But if I'm, say I'm Xabi Alonso, and I'm thinking, where could I go after, as David says, I win this title, I win this League and Cup double, I win this treble at the end of the season. You said it, not me.
No.
If I'm thinking, where am I going to go from here? Liverpool's a far more attractive proposition than Bayern. Not just because it's in the Premier League. And they've got their own issues, of course. They are looking for a new sporting director at the moment. But Klopp is leaving them in a good place sporting-wise. They've started the rebuild in terms of the squad. Whereas if you're saying to me, where are Bayern in terms of style, in terms of personality on the pitch, in terms of direction, I don't really know. It's easy to pin it all to Harry Kane, because what else are you going to do? You know, he's become the leader straight away, not just because he's an unbelievable footballer of incredible status, but because there's that vacuum on the pitch that needs leadership. And that is mirrored by what's happening upstairs. So like, Tuchel has been allowed to get away with like rubbishing his players in public, completely denying the truth, sitting there after they've got hiding at Manchester City. And this was like, a month into the job last year, and go, that was a great performance, I'm so proud of my lads, after they made mistake after mistake and were absolutely humbled. And then he puts out the team that he puts out at Leverkusen last week. Well, they start with three at the back, having never played it before. And trust me, they ain't never going to be playing it again either. And, you know, there are so many moments, sackable moments, but because Bayern don't have that personality that they normally have. Normally, that would be straight away, like, coach is just another employee, stability's further up, but the stability isn't further up at the moment, and that has allowed him to get away with an awful lot.
I just don't know how many of these players as well have made a case to say that we continue into the next era that is currently, you know, shaping up there at the club.
Definitely not.
There's not many of them. Like I said, I think we've discussed before, quite a lot of the players that have been brought in have disappointed ultimately. A couple of the players who have been there a while simply haven't kicked on, haven't stepped up. So it'll be interesting to see where they go. Is Hansi Flick realistic as a return?
You know what? I think it would be ugly but fun. I think because he is inheriting a less good squad than he got before, so much of what he did when he took over was about momentum and about the players feeling liberated after being under Kovac. Now, look, maybe they'll feel liberated that they're not having to deal with this whole Tuchel psychodrama all over again. But I think Hansi Flick will maybe struggle to find those leaders on the pitch that he was able to tap into. So you look at not just, maybe he could get more out of Goretzka and Kimmich. I think you could say that. Mm-hmm. And Kimmich's star, for example, has really waned since.
Yeah, his future has to be resolved as well. Not only the manager, there's a few of the players, and I think Kimmich's one of them.
And
as
a lot of people in the Bayern boardroom are out on Kimmich. They would quite happily sell him next summer. But this time, if Hansi Flick was to come back, he wouldn't have Boateng. He wouldn't have Alaba. I think that makes an enormous difference.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
This from Matt. How high do you rank Florin Wirtz amongst the world's best? For me, there's no one better in his position right now.
Well, I guess there aren't a lot of people in his position.
Mm.
Like, to have that ability to express yourself as an authentic number 10. Of course, part of that is, a massive part of that, is due to the way that Leverkusen play and the way that Xavi Alonso liberates him to play. When I spoke to Alonso back at the end of last year, he was talking about how he's got this sort of bargain with Florian Wirtz, how, you know, all the players have within the system the freedom to interpret your role. And he believes it's all about fulfilling individual roles rather than necessarily the system being king. And I guess Wirtz is the obvious example of that. He gets away without really doing much tracking back because he doesn't want him to do that. He wants him to be able to pick up the ball on the right, on the left, behind the striker, a little bit deeper, wherever he wants to do it. And of course, Wirtz has the exceptional ability where he can do that. Now, I think this has helped Wirtz in a couple of different ways. Firstly, because it allows him to really express himself as a footballer. Secondly, because it's reduced the physical strain on him after he's come back from a really major knee injury. And it took him the best part of a year to get over that. It was something that his body really struggled to deal with. Obviously, an ACL is a big deal for any player. But for a young player, a player of his sort of build and stature and the way he plays, it's taken him a while. It took him a while to get back to that point. And I think Xavi Alonso has very smartly taken some of the pressure off him by saying, okay, well, Xhaka and Robert Andrich and the two wing backs, Frimpong and Grimaldo, they'll do all the running, so you don't have to do as much. And that's a huge part of coaching, isn't it? That you don't treat everyone the same. You treat them differently. You realise they're different personalities, different profiles, and that's part of the excellence of Xabi Alonso. But I don't know about you, David. I love watching Florian Wirtz. I can't really see that many teams where you just drop him into and let him do his stuff.
Yeah, he's a really, really tough one in that sense. And I think, and maybe it actually leads back to what I'm about to say, and this is to go from Matt's question as well. I think in terms of Germany, he's probably the best in terms of most technical, gifted player since Mesut Ozil. He was also an exceedingly difficult player to fit into a system. You know, a lot of systems, Arsenal obviously found a brilliant gap for him, and he was able to have this kind of maverick quality in terms of how he operated and that. And I think Wirtz's career is going to go in a similar way in terms of how he is positioned in teams and the duties that he is given.
But like, you can't sell him to Real Madrid. I mean, he doesn't fit that team because you have Bellingham, you have Brahim Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
Barcelona can't afford him.
Mm-hmm.
Bayern, how do you fit him and Musiala in the same team? That's a question for Germany as well, because ideally, we were talking about it in the main show, I don't really want Musiala on the wing. No. I want him in a more central position. And then we talked about that fact that A, the Premier League's the Premier League physically, and B, there's not really that much room for a traditional number 10. So which Premier League club can you fit him into? There's not really an obvious spot.
Yeah.
But that's the whole thing with this Leverkusen of this season under Xabi Alonso. He just wanted to last forever. don't you?
Yeah.
It's so enjoyable. And you know there's an end point to it. It's like when you go to Istanbul and you go to one of the really good traditional Turkish delight shops and buy yourself a box. And there's this point when you get home and you're about three quarters of the way through the box and you think, oh, I'm going to run out soon. And that's the feeling I have from this Leverkusen.
By the way, Mesut Ozil did fit into the Real Madrid team when he went there, didn't
he? Did he? As well. He did.
Would he fit into his shirt anymore, though? He's buff, isn't he?
Yeah. Basically, both exquisite players.
And Wirtz, most assists in the Bundesliga this season?
Yeah.
That can't be bad.
No, not at all. He, as well as being, you know, kind of dainty and what have you, and delicate as there he is in the way he plays and technical, he's also quite aggressive in the way that he dribbles and the way he approaches the final third as well. It's going to be interesting to see how he develops, but I'm just really, really glad he's over what is a terrible injury.
I've left this question to the end because blue obviously is the colour, football is the game, etc., etc. This is from David. How has the, it makes me laugh as well. How has the blue card announcement been received on the continent, and how are the IFAB viewed generally? There are four British representatives out of a board of eight. Surely this is outdated.
What we have to say about this is, as well, the blue card is still at a trial level. Mm-hmm. This is not going into all football. So at the moment, this is quite a British story because they're looking at trialing it in the FA Cup. So there are not a load of locked in trials elsewhere in Europe. So it's not really that much of a European concern at the moment.
But it's certainly, we'll wait and see. It's a sin bin, as we've seen in rugby.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I mean, I tend to think refereeing is so country specific in terms of context and in terms of rules. And that's the thing. We always say we want consistency for football, you know, normally within a game, but we mean within a league, within competitions. And they're so cross-pollinated nowadays, which is, you know, why we get so many questions, isn't it, from the continent? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the Premier League doesn't exist in a bubble, and nor does La Liga or the Bundesliga or whatever. But I think it's slightly different with officiating, because the first thing I think of when I think of a blue card being introduced in Spain, for example, or Italy, by the time you finish arguing the decision, the player will be back out there anyway.
Yeah.
And it's the same in Portugal. So quite how that's going to work. I mean, I dread to think the amount of time it would whack on a game in Turkey. Like, seriously. I mean, you're looking at like leaving the stadium at like 3 a.m. or something like that, even with the time difference.
There's already too much time added on anyway in games. So this will only add more. Honestly, I hope I hope they trial it in a Hetafe game and have Hetafe just absolutely ruin it and just show that when they pick up blue card, they will just waste the shit out of time and completely ruin it. And everybody at IFAB will go, this isn't going to work, lads. So that's what I hope they do. But in generally speaking, look, the most appealing part of football as a sport is in its simplicity in terms of its rules and what have you, in terms of its initial incarnation. You compare it to other sports, your rugby's, your NFL, basketball, there's a lot of rules, a lot of contrived little rules.
And a lot of stoppages.
Yes, exactly. That's why football has grown as it has, because in its purest form, it is simple. Yet everything in the last few years, whether it comes to rules in terms of officiating, and then also your Champions League reforms and what have you, and I keep saying this, they are making things a lot more difficult.
It's the Ange Postecoglou ticket over here.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. they are sucking the life out of the game. They really are. And this is just they've come up with a lot of bad ideas, and I think this is potentially the worst.
You wonder how the next generation will look at football, as you say, if it's like such a different sport in terms of tempo. If there's the possibility for it to be that, I think with my own children, they perceive football on television much as I did when I was a kid, even though there's much more of it. But we were at a game recently and there was a VAR delay, and then I, come on. You know, I took my godson to a Spurs game recently, and there was a big VAR delay for something. It was Spurs-Brentford, I think. And, you know, I think it was the first time it had occurred to him that this is a really crap experience for the fans inside the stadium.
Inside.
It's something that, you know, most change in whatever, in any sort of product, if you like, is consumer driven. It doesn't feel like the blue card is a particularly consumer driven piece of change, isn't it? It's like 3D TV.
Then why are they bringing it? Why are they trying to introduce it?
I think to give the referees a greater degree of control. And I think it's the right sentiment, but maybe the wrong way of going about it. Now, of course, in terms of the referees having more control, and we talked about different perceptions of refereeing in different countries, I don't think in Italy or Portugal, for example, they care about that. Why VAR has worked for them, largely, of course, there are still issues with it, is, say, in Portugal, for example, they don't care how small the margin is. They don't care how long it takes to get to the absolute precision, right decision. Clarity is the most important thing. Whereas the way we talk about it in England, for example, flow is the more important thing. We like the feeling that something feels right. And, you know, if something's like 2 centimetres offside, and it's very important, the way that they show it on Portuguese television, for example, they show the centimetre margin that a player is on or offside, which is something we've not arrived at here. And, you know, I don't think it's especially important. We look at it, and if we say, oh, that's a great goal, and it's only a little bit offside, who cares? you know, the amount of time we spend in UK football culture or English football culture like complaining about decisions that are technically right is unbelievable.
Is it?
But that's not a discussion you have, because clarity is the most important thing when referees are expected of not throwing straight dice.
Is it a particularly...
In Portugal or Italy, for example, where you have had match-fixing scandals in the past.
Is it a particularly English disease then, David, to tinker around with the rules of football? Because the question almost suggests that in this IFAB, there are 4 British representatives out of a board of 8. It sounds like we're the ones tinkering around with it.
It's all very colonial, isn't it?
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, I like the way you put that.
Yeah, it is. It's just the desire for control over a game where at its best is when it's in natural flow, in terms of the players, in terms of emotions and what have you, in terms of the fans of the emotions. But again, everybody's, when all these rules are getting made up, it's hurting the match going fan the most. It ultimately is. You ask anybody who's in a stadium now, and Andy just brought up a great example there as well. It just, you lose your interest. At home, fine. It's, I mean, don't get me wrong, it still ruins it when you're watching it at home. Yeah. But what? You'll just go on your phone, you'll lie on the couch, you'll go to
make
the fridge.
A cup of tea.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, oh, right, okay. And then what? What's next? Are they going to start putting, we've got a 5 or 10 minute VAR break. We're just going to decide, you know, on this and what have you like that. We're going to properly look at it. We're going to cut to some adverts right now. So the criticism that I always see about NFL and what have you might end up slipping in to the Premier League as well.
Do you reckon Dua Lipa and Imagine Dragons are going to start getting a lot more gigs? You just think, you know, maybe you could have a blue card break or a VAR break or something. Maybe it's not just half time. And we all know how much fans appreciated that at the start of the Champions League final in 2019.
We invented the game, so we can be colonial if we want to. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Ask OTC. If you'd like to ask a question, you can contact us at any time at Radio Dawson, at Andy Brassel, at David Jacker, or at OTC Pod. You can email us otc@footballramble.com.
On the Continent is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.